Do you have knee, shoulder, elbow, and other joint pain? Would you like immediate relief without surgery? Let me introduce you to Dr. Michael Farah, who's been serving patients around the world since 1986. At Freedom Medical Center and Trinity Medical Care, you can get platelet-rich plasma injections and other treatments. Dr. Farah is your choice for cosmetic and regenerative medicine. Schedule your consult today at Trinity Medical Care by calling 256-489-3192. That's Trinity Medical Care, located at 8010 South Parkway in Huntsville. Walk-ins are welcome. Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
It's bow time.
The barbecue sandwich from Bojangles is back. Wait, Bojangles has barbecue?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, okay then. We're talking tender pulled pork with a tangy Carolina vinegar kick. Unforgettably topped with our country coleslaw, all on perfectly toasted buns. So if you're like me and missed it last time, get your hands on a barbecue sandwich combo pronto.
It's bow time.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. Of course, I am your host, Mark White, and I've followed this family for a while here on Instagram. And it's the Fouts family. And right now I have Robin Fouts on the line with me right now. And their family consists of Robin, Nate, Josh, and Elisha. And Elisha's a very important guy. And we can see through the videos the love that they have for him. And I appreciated that so much that I reached out to Robin. And I wanted her to share their story to encourage and inspire you today as a listener to think about opportunities to make somebody smile, to show that you care, to show an act of kindness, to love somebody. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Robin Fouts.
Thank you so much. We also have a daughter. Her name is Annika, just so you know.
Thank you.
She's 13, but we're so grateful to be on here today. Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. For listeners who don't know about the Fouts family, of course, your son, Elisha, was in an accident. He was on a bike and was hit by a car. And if you would share the story, give people the background of where the beginning happened with you taking such good care of Elisha there.
Well, back in 2012, my oldest son, who is not even a year older than his brother Elisha. Josh is 21, Elisha's 20. They're actually the same age for 5 days in the month of July. So they've always been very close. They made the decision that they wanted to ride down the street. It's two blocks away was the playground. They were just going to go down there and hang out. And that evening it was our family night. And so we just told the kids, we're like, yeah, go ahead and ride bikes on there, but just be back in just a few minutes because we're going to play games as a family. So they went down the street and probably, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, I got the door knocked. And a knock at the door, and it was one of the boys that was with my kids. And he said, "Miss Robin, Elisha has been hit by a car." And, you know, I don't know in my head. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect to see what I saw when I ran down the street. You know, barefoot, just sort of running down the street three blocks. My husband was with me. He ran way ahead of me. And then we just, he, I rounded the corner where he had been hit, and I saw him laying in the road. And it was probably one of the most challenging, difficult, even just as a memory, it's hard to think about that moment. Because seeing my sweet 12-year-old boy laying in the street, you know, in his own blood on the street. I hate to say it that way, but that's exactly how it was. It was one of the, as a parent, you never, ever, ever expect to see anything like that. So that was the start of a journey that, you know, was never expected, obviously. It was an accident that happened that day. My son, what we ended up finding out was they were racing from the parking lot. They were riding on the sidewalk, but they were racing from the sidewalk, from a parking lot, to get onto the sidewalk. Well, Elisha lost control of his bike, and he accidentally went out into the street right in front of a car that was coming. And she wasn't going very fast, but, you know, when it was just such an immediate hit. There was no slowing down opportunity for her to slow down because he was behind a car. There were cars parked on the side of the street. So it's not like she could really see what was taking place behind those vehicles, to even slow down. So, it was just such a horrific tragedy. And, that was when they took him to a local hospital and they had to stabilize him. Then they, put him in a helicopter and flew him to one of our larger hospitals, UVA here, University of Virginia, and flew him there. And, you know, Mark, I just believe for us, we had so much peace in it. At first, it was crazy, but I think for us, our faith kind of grounded us. And it was like, as I was driving to the hospital, I literally just felt peace. And I couldn't explain it to anybody other than it was just, it had to have been supernatural. So we get to the hospital and my husband had already flown there in the helicopter and, you know, rode with Elisha there. And I walked up to my husband and I said, I don't know, babe, I just have a complete peace. And he said the same thing to me. He said, I was having a hard time, feeling that peace because I didn't know how to tell you. I felt like God was going to do something. And so, you know, I don't know what we thought, Mark, in that moment. I don't know if we thought it would just be in a moment's time that, everything would be easy and, you know, he would just be completely healed or whatever, but it didn't play out that way. But what we realized along the way, you know, was that peace never left us, even though we've had hard days, very emotional days. My son was put into a medically induced coma that day. He had severe traumatic brain injury. He had multiple strokes. He had a compound fracture from the accident that they could not operate on because his brain, because of all the strokes that were happening, they couldn't get his brain to get stable. So they had to put off that surgery for a couple days. At one point, they removed the front lobe of his skull so that his brain could swell. And, you know, again, never expecting the journey to take the path that it took, you know, for our journey to take the path that it took. But within that whole time, we were able to build relationships with the doctors. We built relationships with the nurses. We were on the pediatric ICU floor, and we were there for, he was in a coma there for a month, 30 days. And we were able to get to know so many people on that floor and to encourage a lot of families. We saw children pass away. We saw children healed and lead and restored. Or, you know, just it was such a emotional roller coaster. And, you know, I don't think that I would have been able to emotionally stay the course without the help of my husband, who was such a solid rock in the midst of all that. He knew, he could tell, like there were days, Mark, where the doctors would come in and say, he's just not responding the way that he needs to. I remember one morning in particular, it was early morning, I was there by myself. The nurse was in there because we were staying in the hotel right across the street from the hospital. And it was that morning, one of the residents came in, and he just was so deadpan. And he looked at me and he said, you need to face reality. Your son is going to be like this the rest of his life. And at that point, there was no response from Elisha, none. And I felt punched in the gut. You know, it was just early in the morning. And I literally sat down and I didn't say anything to him. And it was just him and the nurse. The nurse was putting together Elisha's meds. And he walked out of the room. And I just took a deep breath. And the nurse turned around and she looked at me and she says, I just want you to know something. It is not the doctor's job or my job to rob people of their hope. That's what she said to me. And I remember just sitting there and feeling like I almost just this weight from that doctor, like I have peace in this, but man, right now I'm struggling. And so she leans and she looked at me and she said, Robin, I'm not anybody. I'm not a person of faith. I'm not a religious person. And she said, but I've seen more of God in this hospital than I've seen in any church. And I was like, wow. And, I just was processing the things that she said. And this is what happened. She reaches over to brush Elisha's teeth with this like sponge thing. Now, remember, Elisha hadn't moved. He hadn't done anything up to that point. I mean, the neuro doctors, the orthopedic doctors had been there. I mean, and the pediatric ICU doctor and the nurses, he had done absolutely nothing. So she starts brushing his teeth and I'm still reeling from this doctor, what he said. And she goes, Robin, did you just see that? And I was like, I said, no, I didn't. She said, come here, please. So I get up, I'm just, sitting on the bench right by the window. I get up and get beside the bed and she starts brushing Elisha's teeth and he pulls away for the first time. And just thinking about that moment, thinking about the emotional roller coaster of that morning and hearing that doctor say, you need to face reality because your son is going to be like this the rest of his life. No movement, no response, nothing. And then not 5 minutes later, for the first time, he moved. It felt like, yes, I know that I have this peace for a reason, God. I know that you're on the move and you're doing something. And so I trust you. And so, again, that was, in the middle of the journey. Elisha ended up having multiple surgeries while he was in that hospital just for the first 30 days. I mean, he had the skull removed. He had his ankle surgery. He had his leg surgery. He had at one point had a shunt put in. He had where they put I can't remember what it's called right off the top of my head. I should know as much as we're in the hospital, but he had where they put the probes in his brain to monitor his brain function and all that. And there was so much going on. And then from there we went to Levine's Children's Hospital, which was in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. And that was a pediatric rehab facility. And it was wonderful. It was such an amazing facility. They treated our son so well. But he was so, he's such a little guy, even though he's 12. He was such a little guy. And he had, you know, the medications that he had been taking, it just was so much for his body. So there was no real response from him, even during rehab. And just, and I think that's the hardest part, is like they had to adjust his medications, and, you know, they don't give you a lot of time, you know, especially your insurance doesn't give you a whole lot of time for that adjustment to happen, to start really seeing, change and growth, in the recovery process. Because, I mean, when you're completely medicated like that and little, as little as he was, you know, it was tough for him to kind of wake up from those meds. When we brought him home, I mean, he ended up, while he was in the hospital, he ended up not being able to breathe on his own for a while. So they put a trach in him. So we had to learn to clean that, deal with that. And then 3 weeks after leaving UVA and being down at Levine's Children's Hospital, we weaned him off of his trach, and he was able to breathe on his own after that, again, because they started weaning him off some of the medication. We ended up coming home, bringing him home the day before Thanksgiving in 2012. And he was on 18 medications at that time that we had to wean him off of.
Wow.
Over the next several months. And, you know, that was our responsibility. And so, but yeah, after we started weaning him off his medications, he was more aware and more awake. And we started just getting him more therapy. But again, I don't think people understand, with insurance, it's a hard road, because you have to hit certain benchmarks within a certain period of time, or they stop allowing you to get those services without you having to pay for them yourself. So he wasn't hitting those benchmarks quick enough or fast enough for insurance. And so insurance wasn't willing to continue to cover therapy. So we had to start doing that from home. And, you know, say it's been, you know, 2012, right? So we're 9 years into this, almost 9 years, 8 years. He's so fun. He's so aware. He's so awake. He's full of life and joy, and he understands. That's the thing that's really challenging for people, is a lot of times when they see folks with disabilities, they make the assumption that a lot of them don't understand or don't know. And that's not the case with him. He understands. He knows what's going on. You can tell him a joke and he'll laugh. You can stub your toe and he'll laugh. You know, you watch a sad movie and he gets teary-eyed. His personality for him is still there. Now, there's a big spectrum, and don't get me wrong, there's a spectrum, you know, of really severe brain trauma, where there's not a lot of response and not of a lot of acknowledgement. You know, where in my son's case, though, he does understand. He does get it. He doesn't have a lot of movement. He can't, you know, do things on his own. He's very dependent on us for everything. But emotionally and mentally, there's understanding, and he's just such a gift to us, Mark. And we see him right now. He's changed us as a family, and he's now changing the world. And the reason why we started really putting more and more of our story out there is to bring awareness to folks with disabilities and special needs, and TBI particularly. We want people to know that these folks are people, right? They have feelings. Yes. And they want to engage and have fun. They're just like us. They may not respond the same way. They may not, you know, react the way that maybe you're used to or you're comfortable with, but it's important to embrace their uniqueness and embrace the diversity of our special needs and disability communities. And that's why we just wanted to bring people into our home. Like, this is what we do. We have fun. He is fun. You know, we have a great time as a family. Yes, it is hard. I don't want to minimize that. It's hard some days. And some days I miss him saying, "Mom, I'm hungry." I miss that. So I don't want to minimize the emotional heartache that comes with the change with Elisha. But he is a new person. And yet he's still the same person. You know, it's that dichotomy there is interesting to me, because emotionally, he's so sweet. He's always been like that. Always had a tender heart. Always been a jokester. And that's still there, you know, but yet he can't talk to me as much as he once did, and in the way that he once did. And he can't, you know, address that. So I grieve the loss of what we once had, or and maybe for other people, grieve the loss of what you hope to have, right? And then embrace what you do have and find the joy in the middle of it and in the midst of it. So, you know, that's where what we have decided to do as a family. Like, come in, see who we are, see this great guy, this great kid, see our family, see how we all respond to him, and then maybe, just maybe, one person's life can be touched and impacted by that. I love that the emails that I get or the messages that I get of people saying, I've always been so scared to put my family out there or put my child out there like this, because of how people would view us. And I get that. I mean, I have felt that way. Will people embrace him? Will people love him? But you know what? He absolutely loves doing these videos. He loves it. And I'm not going to rob him of the opportunity to have fun and also to document his journey so that other people can see it and be inspired by it and maybe get a laugh out of it. Like, why can't we joke? Why can't we have fun in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of maybe what might seem unfair to other people or even to us? It may feel unfair at times, but these are the cards we've been dealt, and we're not going to lose heart because it's hard. We will find joy in the midst of it.
And that, Robin, is where I want to take people to, is to find joy in the Fouts family, to find joy in Elisha, and being able to see the videos, the smiling face, the joy that's there. We're talking to Robin Fouts of the Fouts family. You can find on Instagram, the Fouts family, FOUTZ, and follow Elisha's journey along with the rest of the Fouts family. We're glad to have Robin on the line with us right now to talk about Elisha and talk about Josh and Nate and Anna as well. And I hope that you'll continue to stick with us and share this show with your friends. Maybe it's something that they'll be encouraged by. Maybe it's something they need to hear. You are listening to The Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. And I am your host, Mark White.
A friendly smile's a tiny price to pay. Let's all do something good today. Little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org. Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123.
It's bow time.
You've probably heard folks say, don't call it a comeback. But at Bojangles, we don't like to beat around the bush. So when the sizzling, savory pork chop griller's back in all its tender, marinated, chili lime glory, and you can snap up two of them for $5, go ahead, call it a comeback. Get two legendary pork chop grillers for just $5, only at Bojangles.
It's bow time.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hey, Mom! I want to go to Early Works.
Yeah, Mom. Bring the kids to Early Works Children's Museum. Early Works has reopened with new safety protocols and an exciting new exhibit. Toys, The Inside Story, is a hands-on experience that lets you find out how toys work. You can see the Star Wars collection, try out the giant Etch-a-Sketch, test your skills on an old-fashioned pinball machine, and play at the Lego River Water Table. It is all at the Early Works Museum in downtown Huntsville. Go to earlyworks.com for tickets and more information.
I had a 6 transistor when I was a kid. Under my pillow, I kept it hid.
Hey, this is Lionel Cartwright, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Mark's making a difference. You go make a difference too, okay? I watched it all on my radio. I watched it all on The Mark White Show.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. We are in the middle of the Mary Fay Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I am talking to Robin Fouts. Robin is coming to us from Appomattox, Virginia. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Robin.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You did a great job of laying out what happened to your son, Elisha, and then you talked about sharing your family with others and opening that door and letting people come in, because you want to bring awareness to disabilities. You want to bring awareness to special needs. And it's very important that we as listeners have an opportunity to see that. If we're not directly affected, that doesn't mean that we won't be in the future. And to see how you guys have handled the situation and to see Elisha and his smiling face and the joy that can be brought to him, and not ignore the fact that he is a guy who has a personality. He is a person that loves and cares and has feelings and a heart that needs to be nurtured and taken care of. And you're bringing that to light for people who may look at Elisha and say, oh, well, I don't know what he's capable of. Well, you've begun to see what he's capable of, and you've been able to bring that to other families and let them see it. And I think that's an amazing thing that you're doing, Robin.
Thank you so much. I will say this, you know, when putting our son out there has, and we've had several videos that have gone viral, whether it's been on TikTok or on Instagram. And it does open the door for people to make comments that are not appropriate or that are bullying, you know, and they are, I'll be honest with you, Mark, they're few and far between, you know, they're just, it's minimal compared to more of the impact that he's had. But I do want to say that I want to bring that up because, you know, if for some reason, you know, somebody else feels that way or somebody feels, I'll be honest, we had a threat towards Elisha, and people have said that he shouldn't live. Why did we let him live? And those kind of comments. Again, when you have thousands and thousands of comments of people like, this is inspiring, this is beautiful, this is great, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, sometimes those comments that are more of a bullying statement or a threat, those hit hard. They hit hard even outside of all of the thousands and thousands of other folks who it's impacted. And so I do want to say for folks out there who are a bit intimidated, you know, to share their lives or to feel like it's daunting or it can be scary, obviously, that the impact, I think, is greater than the negative responses more than anything. And they are minimal. And if I love to address them, and I love to address it in a way that says, hey, you know, I actually sent an email the other day to somebody on Instagram who, you know, said he was useless. And I said, how do you know that? I just emailed them, messaged them directly. I didn't respond to his comment. I actually deleted it, but I went to their page and messaged them and said, I want you to know I did delete your comment, but I want you to know why. I was like, you don't know him. I was like, you don't know who he is, his heart, how happy he is, or day in and day out. We're giving you glimpses of that, but you don't know him. And to say that is an unfair statement. And I would hope, and this is what I said in my email, a message to him. I said, I would hope that you would be willing to take the time. I'm happy to have a conversation with you offline about my family. I'm bringing you into my home in just with little snippets, but man, I'm happy for us to have a conversation. If you're willing to do that, you know, let me know and I'll make that happen. Obviously, no response back. But, you know, if there is one person that I could change their mind, if I could say, you might think that somebody with his disability or somebody with special needs like him or somebody who has, you know, traumatic brain injury or intellectual issues or developmental, you know, whatever the issues are, you know, if I could change their mind, whether it's one person or not, it doesn't matter to me if they respond, if they take to heart what I say, but man, if there's one person that it does affect, whew, that's awesome to me. Yes. And so I'm not going to let people who threaten or say negative things get away with just dropping that and not hearing back from me. So I try to go through them and it's never to demean them. I remember there was one threat on TikTok. It was horrible. And I actually did a video about it. And addressed it because on TikTok you can actually pull the comment and put it in a video. You can reply directly to the comment. I didn't do that in that video, but I did address that comment because I just didn't want to give his name away and give him the attention that he wanted. But I wept on the, I was crying on the video and saying, I cannot believe somebody would do that. This is not who we are supposed to be as people. We are, our nation, we should be accepting and inclusive. And what happened, what was remarkable from that video is that other people shared that video and shared it all throughout TikTok, which was so amazing. And people addressed bullying and threats. And it really brought attention to that mindset, and maybe to that bullying. And hopefully, Mark, it affected someone and brought change to somebody's life. And that's the goal. That's the goal of any of the videos that I do.
That's exactly right, Robin. And you bring up a great point when we think about those who can have a huge impact because, first off, they quite possibly are ignorant. And then second off, because they really don't have a filter. And when they do stand out like that, as opposed to the thousands and thousands of people who would respond in a positive way, it's sad that a person or an individual can have that type of impact, but they realize it or they wouldn't make their comment. But the fact is when we can move forward and think about all the people who do care and that you are making a very positive impact, the people that maybe are on the fence, because you do have people who don't understand, but they're willing to listen and understand and then see Elisha in a different way, then those are the people you're really talking to. There are people who are hardcore on either side. And we're not necessarily talking to hardcore people. We're talking to people who are softcore and people who have a tender heart ready to learn and to listen and to understand and talk back and forth with us.
That's right. I mean, I think about TikTok and I use that as an example. I mean, we have about 140,000 followers on TikTok. I mean, people who want to follow our journey, who want to follow our story. And then I think about now Instagram with, you know, I guess, what do we have? Maybe 13,000 on there. And I'm just seeing how it's affecting so many people. And I mean, we had one video on Instagram that has had over 1.2 million views, which is, I never in my wildest dreams thought that our story would have that far of a reach.
Yes.
And so we're super grateful. And I know it's, the sweetness of our son, how he's affected our family. And I know you had mentioned our kids and the impact on them, and just hopefully sharing that and people being touched by it.
Siblings can learn a lot in this situation. I have some great friends over in Scottsboro, Alabama, and their daughter, Laura, has taught their family so much. Older brother, Joshua, who's a great brother that just got engaged, and I know that he's going to be a great father because of it. He's going to be a great husband because of it, and it makes us better as a people. And as you mentioned very early in the program, the change that it made in the Fouts family, and you never want to go through that tragedy. You do not want this to happen, but when it does, and you mention the cards that you're dealt, then you've let Elisha have a great impact on your family to the point that I think the Fouts family is better for it.
Agreed. You know, that day that Elisha's accident happened, my oldest son was with him, and, you know, he tried to wake him up. He was laying in the road, and my oldest son went over to him and tried to shake him awake. You know, so that day, both of my boys faced trauma, you know, significantly. And I remember Josh, my oldest, running up to me at the accident. And he said, Mom, he said, it's all my fault. That's what he said to me. And I looked at him, Mark, I pulled him away. And I said, Josh, I was like, kiddo, it is not your fault. I said, this was an accident. And I could look at my every decision that I've made up to this point and blame myself. Why did I let you guys go ride bikes? Why did I buy the house in this neighborhood? You know, I mean, I could go over it all day long in my mind and blame myself. And I said, but that's not, this was an accident. And I told him, I was like, and we're going to see God do something remarkable through it. I literally said that at the site of the accident. And, you know, my oldest, he's probably been the one that it has hit the hardest. I mean, he was 13. You know, that's a very pivotal time in a young boy's development. And we did put him in counseling and helped him kind of navigate that. But it wasn't until he actually graduated high school and, you know, he went into the military. And in the military, and I know he won't mind me sharing this, but while he was in the military, he ended up getting diagnosed with depression and PTSD, which is definitely something that a child like that, after having gone through what he's gone through, that's a pretty typical diagnosis, I would say. I don't know if it's typical is the best word, but I think that seems like, yes, that is something that could definitely be a diagnosis after all he's gone through. He went to counseling, and then he was able to be honorably discharged. You know, it was good that all of that came to the surface even more so. So he's been able to work through that and navigate that. He is an amazing young man. He's always, my oldest son has always just had a soft heart as well. He seems like he's tough, but he is just a softy, and super proud of what he's doing in his life right now as he's moving forward and growing and becoming a man. He's 21 now, so he's remarkable. And then I think about my daughter, who's we're a blended family. So my daughter, who is 13, she's my stepdaughter. She is probably one of the most mature young women I've ever been around. She just has such a great perspective. Always so, she's just a positive young girl. She prefers to be a little bit behind the scenes. She doesn't always like to be in our videos. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're 13, you just kind of want to be behind the scenes.
I understand.
But she is just got such a great heart and is wonderful with our son. You know, she is a little bit of a, if we have to leave to go somewhere, she's a great sitter. She has access to our neighbor who is, you know, comes over and helps take care of Elisha. She can sit with Elisha, obviously. I mean, she's my daughter's 5'7", beautiful blonde girl, 13 years old, you know, and she has just got such a heart of gold. So yeah, just we've all been impacted. You know, I think the thing that as parents that my husband and I are definitely aware of is how do we consistently pay attention to the emotional needs of our other two children. And that's been the journey of since Elisha's accident, being aware and being mindful of your other children. I would say that to parents who have special needs children, you know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the day in and day out of the needs of the one that has a lot of physical needs versus the fact that you also have other children who need there's emotional needs that need to be met for them, even though you feel like you're taking care of them as well in the day in, day out. Be mindful of them. We have conversations that are hard. How are you doing? How do you feel right now? And really saying, are we doing this right? We ask that question. Where are we missing it right now, Annika or Josh? What have we done? And so those questions, I think, are important. And as a parent, sometimes we don't want to ask those questions because, you know, we just want life to go slow. It's better to ask those questions now. it's better to bring those questions up now so that you can guide and direct your children, even, you know, as they get older and get out of the house, so that they know that you have invested and you care about their heart and the pain that they went through and the hurt that they had to deal with in the midst of it all. You cannot lose sight of the emotional well-being, the mental well-being of your other children. Because sometimes they might feel a little left out, a little bit lost, a little bit hurt. And man, I don't want to miss that. And I don't want to get that wrong. I get it wrong often, but if I can work through it with them, and if I can be honest and be willing to say, I'm sorry I missed it. Sorry that I missed it there. Help me to do better the next time. We're going to do this together. We're a team. That's the thing I always tell Annika and Josh and Elisha. We're a team in this. We do this together. We don't push you to the side. You matter. You are just as important. You have a purpose. Your impact is just as great, you know. And so we definitely are mindful of that with our children.
That's very good. And I want people to learn these lessons through your pages. And I want you to tell people how they can connect with the Fouts family, Robin.
Sure. Well, we're on all social media platforms right now. We do have a TikTok page. It's, if you type in the Fouts family, you should be able to find us. It is at Robin and Elisha. That's our username on TikTok. We're on Instagram, the Fouts family again, but it's the actual username is at Robin_Fouts. And then we have a Facebook page, the Fouts family as well. So, but yeah, I would love for people to, any questions that come up, man, we just want to educate people. We also want to come alongside people in this journey and create a community. Like, we're not in this alone, you know. We're in this together as a community to come around folks with disabilities and special needs. Yeah, we're here for them.
I love your attitude about this, Robin. I love the spirit of your family. And I've enjoyed watching on Instagram the videos that you have shared, the moments that you've shared that really give insight into the Fouts family, into Elisha, into your family. And we appreciate that. I just wanted to mention that. And then I appreciate the fact that you took so much time with me today here on the Mark White Show to share about your family and your journey and your openness when it comes to disabilities and special needs. And I hope that somehow, some way, somebody's been touched today by the words that you shared with us.
I hope so too. Thank you for the opportunity, Mark. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Folks, we've been talking to Robin Fouts of the Fouts family, and we're talking about Robin, Nate, Annika, Josh, and Elisha. I hope that you'll follow the Fouts family. You can be encouraged by it as well. Watch Elisha's smiling face, the joy that is brought to him in that household. It is something to see, and I hope that you will plug into the Fouts family. Folks, you know what this show is about. It's about recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire us all, and I hope that you are inspired by the stories that are shared here on the Mark White Show. If you are, I want your friends to have the same feeling. I want them to be encouraged and inspired as well. So be a friend and share the Mark White Show with them. Let them be a part of this effort. And to find out more about these difference makers, you can make a difference in their life today as well. You have been listening to another edition of the Mark White Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Sand gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.
Hi, everybody. This is DJ Thomas. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyla's corner, she's living life sunny side up. Nothing
seems to fit. You are my sunshine.
This is Kyla.
Carter of Kyla's Corner. You can hear my segment every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Mark White Show. Remember to tune in every Saturday and always live life sunny side up.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Discover fascinating animals from the islands of the world when you visit the Island Life Exhibit at Tennessee Aquarium. You'll be amazed at what you find.
We may never see tomorrow anyway. Let's all do something good today. Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, let's all do something good today.